ministry around you can kill the ministry within you. And you just got to be very, very careful to lead out of reflection, to lead out of rest, to lead out of a Sabbath rest that you have with God, and making room for that, making margin for that in your life. So important.
Hello, and welcome to the Chasing Elephants podcast. As always, my name is Brent Crow, and I'm joined by the one and only Taylor H. Glow. If life is a journey, then we want to help you wander well. If life is a story, then this conversation is designed to help you tell a good one. And we've been in a series lately in which we're focusing on faithfulness in ministry, longevity in leadership, and what that looks like, how to be motivated, what are the practices, all those different components. And this week, we've had some amazing conversations, but this week is going to be a highlight, ladies and gentlemen. I can promise you that, because we have someone that feels to us a little bit like extended family.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Pastor Barnett is Jeff Wallace's former pastor. Jeff served under Pastor Barnett for 23 years.
Well, yeah.
And so Pastor Barnett is definitely somebody that we've known for some time now, somebody that I look up to, somebody that I know Taylor looks up to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to take too much of his story because I want him to be able to share some of that, but I will tell you this. He has served in Decatur, Georgia, at Peace Baptist Church. He planted the church. He leads the church. He's the senior pastor of the church. He's been there for 28 years, and it's an amazing, amazing story. So, Pastor Barnett, first of all, thank you so much for your time today and for your willingness to come on and talk to us and have this conversation.
Well, thank you so much, Brent and Taylor. I'm so glad to be here today and just humbled that you all would ask me, and just looking forward to sharing with your audience just, you know, how to have faithfulness in ministry. And I think it's so important in the world that we live in today. If we're going to have leaders that last, we have to have leaders that are, willing to stay in for the long haul.
So let's just go ahead and dive into question one. Now, this is kind of a little bit of a hard question. And it's also a kind of a softball question, because it's hard because we're talking about your whole life, but it's a softball question because it is your life. But would you just give our listeners and our students a chance to kind of get a glimpse into your journey? Would you tell us a little bit of the story of where you come from and then the story that is Peace Baptist Church?
Yeah, I'd love to. And, I'm just thankful and just so grateful to God for even using me. I had no idea that our church would be what it is today. I only wanted a congregation of about 250 people total in the church. And the Lord had laughed at that and has really blessed us in this time. I started with 14 individuals in our church. I had been a campus pastor at North Carolina State University for a number of years, and then a youth pastor here when my wife came to Georgia Tech to get a master's degree. And then worked as a youth pastor. That's where I met Jeff at, and used Jeff in a mighty way when he was in middle school and high school to really help me in organizing the youth ministry there. And so, in that experience, I started Peace with 14 people out of our living room. It's quickly began to grow into different places. We've been in 13 different locations. We have bought property, sold property, given property away to other churches that were struggling and needed a leg up. And we've been really great in benevolence in doing that. God has blessed us with a wonderful campus that we're at now. But all that we've been doing now is what we did all along. We've been doing a lot with, Celebrate Recovery Ministry, of course, the recovery ministry, dealing with brokenness, dealing with the real pains of people in our community. Our area in Decatur was in a transitioning time, and it was really depressed, drugs, gangs, all of that. And we were, God really just interjected us into that community to really make a difference. And so we're seeing God do things through school programs and again, the food programs that we're doing, working with our seniors, a whole lot of different areas of ministry that God has just called us to. The real exciting part of ministry to me is seeing lives changed. And that's what we do every day. That's who God has called us to reach, and it's who's really leading our church now. Many of the leaders that are in our church were former drug addicts or alcoholics or individuals who had no church experience. And so it's been exciting seeing them grow up and really take the reins of leadership and really make our church what it is today. In that time, we planted 6 other congregations throughout Metro Atlanta. We've planted some in Brazil and also in South Africa. They all are autonomous churches. We're not a satellite or a multi-site campus, but just really, really exciting to see what God has done over these many years. I've been pastoring there 28 years at this one church. I told the Lord, I want one church for one lifetime. I think one church is enough for me to try to mess up. And so it has been such a blessing in these last 28 years of ministry. So just really, really excited to see what the Lord's going to do in the future. As I get ready to start handing the baton off to the next generation is where I'm at right now. And really looking forward to it. I'm 56 years old, so I'm still kind of young as it relates to people in ministry, but I am looking to the next 10, 12 years. What does it look like for ministry in the future? And so that's a little bit of who we are and what our church is all about.
Such an amazing story. That's such an amazing story, Pastor. It's, well, you know, you share all these different emphases in ministries and all the fact that there's so many people who were broken and who were lost and who were in the ditch of life, and the ministry of Peace Baptist Church has now seen these stories miraculously changed from being lost and broken to now found, redeemed. One of those stories is Jeff Wallace's father,
yes,
Greg, and I remember Jeff telling me the story of when his dad came to Jesus. He was in the 8th grade. His mom had just picked him up from being at a weekend camp. And as soon as he got in the car, she just was teary-eyed and talked about how... And then he went on to be this amazing leader in the church. He's a volunteer, worked in men's ministry. And to be quite honest, when he passed away and Miss Wallace was standing there at the grave, there were so many people that just lined up to say a word of encouragement about how he had impacted them, discipled them, maybe led them to Jesus. But that's the kind of stories that are coming out of this amazing vision that is Peace Baptist Church that you've been pursuing for all these years.
Yeah, I mean, and Greg, Jeff's dad was just very much like that, and his spirit and his legacy still lives on. I mean, he's the model of manhood still in our church today. And he wasn't afraid to share his brokenness, his past, and his pain to reach out to those individuals. And that's really what our church is all about. I remember preaching Bible study one night, and I was preaching about God changing our lives. And a young lady at the end of the Bible study raised her hand and said, "Will that work for me?" And I said, "Yes, all of that will work for you." And she began to say, "Well, I'm going down to the strip club downtown Atlanta right after this service. Somebody had invited her to come. She was a guest." And she says, "Will the gospel change me?" And I said, "Yes." And I said, just under the inspiration of God, I just said, "How much do you think you might make tonight?" And she said, "About $300. And I said, "Well, if you won't go down there, my wife and I will give you $300 not to go tonight." Well, before I could even finish, somebody else stood up and said, "How much is your rent?" And she said, "Whatever it was." Somebody says, "Me and my family will take care of that for the next 3 months." Somebody else said, "How much is your utility bill? How much do you for childcare if you have any kids?" And by that time, we had almost 6 months of that lady's salary paid for by the church just there right then. And she eventually, somebody even that night gave her a job at the IRS, and she became an IRS employee. And so it's unbelievable when the church is the church and we rise up to be what God has called us to be.
That's incredible. Oh my gosh. That's just amazing. Well, let's talk a little bit, you know, transition to the our theme, our emphasis for this series, and that is longevity, like stick-to-itness. So let's talk a little bit about, let's start with the inner, you know, cause, the our motivation, if you will. What are the motivating factors, or how does one stay motivated and position our motivations even towards longevity in leadership?
Well, you have to know your why, the why you do it, not just the what. So much of ministry is people doing the what. You know, we go to seminary, they tell us what to do, but it's got to be the why. And your why has to be about people, you know, and about the principles and the proclamation of God's word, and then leave the property and all the other exterior things up to God to give those to you as he sees fit. Because if you run after those things, when you receive them, you never know if it's from the hand of God or something that you pushed or forced because you were trying to mimic other ministries, or you were chasing some, you know, dark side of a shadowy side of your character, if you would, and received it. And you really want to make sure that you eat from the hand of God and live out of the mouth of God. And so I think the why is so important. And so I really spent a lot of time focusing on why are we doing this? Why am I doing this? Every sermon is a why question. Every new ministry that we do is a why. The evaluation at the end of the year of what we've done or what we're planning to do, it's always about why are we doing that? And I think that's so very important to give you longevity, because at some point, the what will wear you out. The ministry, the doing ministry is taxing, you know, but when the motivation is coming from a connection first with God, a real trust in the leadership that you have around you, and a knowledge that God is the one leading you, that he's building the house, and that you're not laboring in vain, it gives you that motivation to be able to run the race set before you with patience as you look to Christ. And it's so important. I think also having a strong family with you, your personal family, and reminding yourself that this is my ministry, my first ministry. They're going to be the ones that's going to be here. My church tomorrow can tell me to leave, but I've got a family that's forever. And it's my wife and my kids. And I really have focused in on that and made sure that I've done that. And I learned that early in ministry because I was driven in the beginning. Britt, I'll say I was really, really driven. And I remember one time I came home after, you know, and my wife had a note there for me. And I read it and I thought, wow, it was called The Candyman. She says, I'm married to the Candyman. I love the Candyman. He gives candy out to everybody else all day long. He gives candy, 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 candy. And then she says, and I can't wait for him to come home because I know he's going to give me candy. But when he shows up, he only hands me wrappers. And I was like, oh, my God. I am neglecting my first ministry. And I made a commitment then that I was going to be at every one of my kids' games. I was going to take them to school and pick them up. And so I organized my ministry around my family, not my church having to tolerate my family in that sense. I made it very clear that they were my first ministry and that I was going to give my time and effort to them first. And I thank God for a church that allowed that. And so those were some of the very important issues. And then building rhythms into my life. You know, you came to preach for us when I was taking a sabbatical in 2019, did a great job. They still want, when is that redhead guy going to come back and preach for us again? They still say, but finding ways to have rhythm in your life, it's so important because it will take out of you. The ministry around you can kill the ministry within you. And you just got to be very, very careful to lead out of reflection, to lead out of rest, to lead out of a Sabbath rest that you have with God, and making room for that, making margin for that in your life. So important.
No, that was so good. And how you had mentioned just the why and everything at the beginning of that answer. I think that is so important for just any of any age, just whatever you're doing, whatever you're going into, your passions, and whether you're in college, about to graduate college, or you're near the end of your life, just always going back to and reminding yourself of what that why is, because you can just lose sight so easily, just what you're saying. But then when you went into the parts about at the end of rest and finding that rhythm, and I want to kind of talk about that for a second. We always like to pull in the practical areas of leadership of and talking with our listeners about that. So let's talk about that a little more. What are some more practical ways that we can talk about, and maybe it's disciplines, it's habits that we can do on a daily basis that we can apply to our lives to help further in that longevity? What are some things that you specifically do? So you mentioned rest, but I want to kind of give our listeners a little bit more. So what are some practical ways in that?
Well, first of all, thank you, Taylor. But, you know, first of all, very few people will stop the pastor and say, you need to slow down, particularly if things are going well. They're going to just keep pushing you and say, go for it. And then you have to be very aware of that dark shadow inside of us that needs that applause, so that we keep being pushed and we keep trying to run so that we can get more claps. So you have to be aware, self-aware of that drivenness of your within yourself, because the applause and the success will lead you to do more and more and more. And so you have to take time out to do that. And I do that on a daily basis. I really do. I get up in the morning and I just, and I just reflect on what has to happen the day coming, just like I did the night before I go to bed. I spend time downstairs by myself and just pray and thank God for whatever I was able to accomplish or not accomplish. And a lot of times it's a lot of not. I didn't do half of what I set out to do, but I give God praise for it and just pray for him giving me more strength the next day. And then every quarter I take a day or two away and just go to a hotel somewhere and just sit with my yellow legal pad and Bible or some books that I want to read, or and I just think. And I think we don't do enough thinking time and just thinking and praying. I see that as the rhythm of Christ and what he does. The other thing that I do is I have some counselors and people in my life. I'm not ashamed to say I have a counselor, someone who just talks to me, you know, saying a professional person who doesn't know me, doesn't, I don't want them to come to my church. If they do, that'd be fine, but I don't want them to be members. I want to be able to have a place where I can offload the stressors of my life onto them and not be judged, not be afraid that it's going to come back in some negative way. And that has been so good for me to be able to have that. And then a group of friends, have some really good friends in my life, some in the church, some outside the church, that we really hold each other accountable. I was trained under John Wesley, kind of his rhythm of, they called them the Holy Rollers. That's where the word Holy Rollers comes from. But it was a group of guys that John Wesley and his brother and others had, to where they would meet every week and they would ask questions, you know, about, have you sinned this week? What's going on with your family? How much of the word have you read? And then the last question was always, did you lie about anything, you know, that we just talked about? And it's so important to have that group of guys in your life that you can trust, where you can be vulnerable with, who will hold you accountable. And those have been the things, other than my family, that have really held me together. And I thank God for a board, an elder board that we have that understands that. And they ask that all the time. We did a 3-hour meeting, which is very long for us, but we did a 3-hour meeting last week. And one whole hour of it was just really asking me about me, you know. And man, I mean, tears are coming to my eyes right now. Just knowing that, you know, the people that you lead care about you, not just what you do. So, yeah, those are the ways you build rhythm into your life and margin, and you can last.
That's so good, Pastor. But before we move on, you said something that I think everybody would listen to and go, okay, yeah, check. I need to have accountability and the right friends and the right rhythms and all this. But there's one subject that you mentioned, counseling. And, you know, for so long, there's been this perception that if you go and you get counseling, that there's just something wrong with you, or that it's a sign of weakness. So there's shame associated with that. Is that perception? Is that stereotype? Is it shifting? Mm-hmm. Are we seeing a change in tone, mm-hmm, from this is weakness to actually this is a strength?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope so. And I believe so, because I believe it's the younger generation that's leading us in that area. Because our older generation, you always had to be perfect and you had to have it all together. And every sermon had to be, you know, 3 points in a poem. Everything had to be organized and structured and, you know, success, success. But this younger generation, I think, is leading us to be more authentic. And I think that authenticity is leading us to be authentic even in our private world. I went back to read Gordon MacDonald's Ordering Your Private World. In fact, our executive pastor and myself, I took him to it. I said, let's read this together. And we're reading that together in our own personal mentoring and discipleship time. And Gordon wrote this 25 years ago, I guess it was. But it is such a great book that I think gives new life today. And I think our young people are a little bit more open to lean into pain. And I think they're a little bit more self-aware than my generation was, or the one before me was. And so, yeah, I'm encouraged. I think that we're entering into a healthier place to make sure that I can't give to people in ministry if I myself, the physician, the pastor, is hurting and weak themselves. And I really applaud the young people for leading us in that.
One of the things that we have noticed as we've talked to different leaders is that there are certain themes or emphasis or projects or whatnot that seem to bubble up to the surface as they look back over in your case, previous 28 years just with one church. And as you look back, is there a theme that you would go, okay, that we did a lot. We, you know, Peace Baptist Church is a story of salt and light in Decatur, Georgia. But there is this emphasis, this theme in my ministry and leadership. I'm particularly proud of this. This is one that I look at and go, okay, that was close to my heart. I mean, there's a lot of things we do that are important, that are close to the heart of God, but there's sometimes that there's some causes or some projects or some emphases that are particularly close to our own hearts. And I think God designs us that way so that we're meeting a multiplicity of needs in our culture through a multiplicity of different leaders. But is there one that you would say, okay, this is a good theme in our ministry. I'm proud of this project, this emphasis, this ministry.
Yeah, that's a really great question. You know, I think there's a thread that runs through our ministry and really through my leadership in the church. And it's real simple. And I didn't think about this until, you know, just a really few months ago. But I think it's helping people with loss.
Mm.
Helping people. That's been a theme. That's been almost all of our ministries have that at its core, to help people who are not just broken, but are dealing with loss. How do you manage loss? And in the midst of this pandemic coming out of it now, that is the theme that I think here in 2021, as we move into 2022, I think that's the thing that almost every church needs to deal with. And it's one that we need to carry throughout.
Yes,
it's
sir.
Really, how do we handle loss? When you look at the ministry of Jesus, a lot of what he dealt with was helping people to deal with loss and how to not just move into the next stage and, you know, charge the next hill, but how do I let go of necessary endings? How do I disconnect from those things that are weighing me down and causing me not to access all the goodness of his kingdom?
Mm.
And I think in our church and in my leadership, I try to help people manage loss. And, Romans 8:28 is probably the big theme. You know, all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and called according to his purpose, and learning to know that everything may not feel good, it may not be good, but it can work together for good.
Mm.
And helping people to come to that realization and being okay with that and trusting God in the midst of it all. So our Celebrate Recovery ministry, our SYNC ministry that ministers to in public schools to 150 kids every day who are the least and the leftover in school and making F's and D's, helping them to recover from that and their pain and their families. The nursing home ministry that we sponsored to over 400 nursing home residents through 6 nursing homes and 225 services a year we do there. It's all about loss.
Mm.
When I think about the prison ministry of the returning citizens, helping them to recover from loss, I could just go on and on with all the ministries, all of them at the core. How do we deal with grief and loss and see God in it all and have a new future despite our past?
Mm.
Wow, that is so good. Well, the last question that we want to ask before we go into kind of just a what we call a rapid fire, where there's quick answers at the end. But I feel like this one we've been talking about a little bit of just how you with how you center yourself around the why. And that's how you're able to look at and come into the idea of longevity and make sure that you're doing that and walking daily with the Lord. But I think what has become, at least for myself, what I've been seeing a lot of times, what I've been hearing from friends is it's becoming more common to hear about someone in the ministry's fallout than their fruitfulness. And we've just seen that more and more, I think, in just the past couple of years. And it just feels like one after the other, you just hear about it more. You know, it's just a weekly thing. Sometimes it feels like, which is so, so sad. So I want to ask you specifically, just if we're talking to this next generation of students, especially just for a moment, What is something that you would tell them just to encourage them of how they can be a part in on this, of on this idea of longevity in leadership? And then how can they also avoid being skeptical of those in leadership? So kind of a two-parter question on that one.
You know, first of all, just knowing that people aren't perfect is so important. I think we always have to be aware of, again, our own, I've used this word a number of times, I think, today, but the dark side of our character.
Yeah.
And the dark side of humanity and kind of where it is. And so there's a lot of skepticism, as you just said, that's there today, because I think we put our focus in on leaders than the one who should be leading us, which is Christ himself.
Yep.
And so I would first take people off pedestals, be very careful of role models to emulate in a way to make them almost godlike.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that Jesus hated about, you see it in the book of Revelations, the Nicolaitans, you know, that they elevated clergy and leaders to a level that they should not have been. And the Lord rebukes them, you know, twice in the book of Revelation about that. And I think we have to be very careful of putting our leaders on a pedestal, making them perfect in that sense. To lead into your question, I think that I'm just hoping that we will take our emphasis again off of man and put it back on who Christ is. And again, as we said earlier, the why that God has called us, I think, is so very important. And just being aware of the brokenness of humanity. I think it's a great time right now for that. I know there's been all these leaders, and you know, I'm not going to name all the names, but we hear them. You know, some of them I knew, and I knew some of their stories. They did not have people around them that they could really trust. They lived in the shadow of their successes. There's some here in Atlanta that we've heard recently. They lived in the shadow. They didn't feel that they could trust people around them. And so my heart to young people is to really, again, letting them form relationships in their lives to where they can be vulnerable and honest and real. I think that's my hope for our young people. I'm not sure if I answered your question.
No, you did. Well, you answered it, and then you stepped on. I mean, you kind of went into an area that was very important. It's something we try to teach at SLU all the time, is that human beings were never created to be famous. And you have this culture where we really worship fame. We make an idol out of fame, whether it's entertainment or sports or politics or whatnot. And it seems that in our church culture, in our ministries, in our church context, we've done the same thing at times. This is one of my, Pastor Barnett, so forgive me, but this is one of my pet peeves, is that we make idols out of people that are supposed to be shepherds.
Exactly.
And it's a dangerous game to play, because our only job is to herald the only one that is famous, and that is Jesus. And I was with a gentleman last week who has a chance to do a lot of filming. He's a producer for a lot of very well-known evangelicals. And he goes, how do I know if one of these guys is real or is authentic or what? And I said, if they're available, they're real. If they're not available, they're not worth your time. Because their lack of availability communicates a lot about how they view themselves, how they view those they serve. And so I just so appreciate that word, because we've got to break free of the gravitational pull of idolizing certain evangelical leaders. They're servants. They're ministers of the gospel. And yes, God's used them in mighty ways, but let's not put them on the pedestal of fame and really almost to that place where we bow down to them. So thank you so much for that. I just wanted to pause real quick and go, that we need to emphasize that. That's vital.
Yep.
Yeah, the ministry of the towel. You know, Jesus, the greatest among you is the servant of all.
And yeah.
The ministry of the towel. And I look at, when I try to find a strong leader, like, who's carrying a towel? And who's not just wearing a robe or a crown.
Yeah.
Or has a scepter in their hand. You know, but the ministry of the towel is so very important.
Yeah.
Who's on their knees washing the dirty feet of mankind?
Mm.
Who stops? I look at how when I try to find a leader that I want to hire or a leader that I'm looking for in a key volunteer role, I try to take them out and I look at how they handle the waitress, how they handle some different issue. Take them out of the church and let's look and see, you know, how do they handle people who they think may be beneath them?
Mm.
And I think or has to serve them. Do they have a servant spirit? And it'll show up.
Yeah,
that dark shadow of us will show up all the time.
That's a good word.
Great. All right. Well, we're going to move into rapid fire questions. So a little fun part, but just some easy questions and you can just give a quick answer as quick as you can. But the first one is, what brings you joy at this stage of your life? Like, what makes you laugh?
I laugh at myself a lot more.
Honestly,
than I used to.
Same.
So, it's the truth. I'm the funniest guy I know.
I just
get a kick out of my own missteps, and I just find myself laughing at me a lot. And that sense. So that's really.
I love it.
That's a great
answer. That's perfect. What's the best book that you've read this past year?
Canoeing the Mountains by Todd Ballingsinger. I can't even say his name.
Whatever,
but Todd's
yeah.
Canoeing the Mountains.
We'll find
it's
it.
A great book. Love it on Lewis and Clark, looking at the land before them being different from the land behind them as they were exploring towards the Pacific Ocean.
That's awesome. All right. How do you constantly challenge the process of leadership in your own life?
You know, I always want to do things that are just beyond my own comfort zone. So I want to always challenge myself to, you know, do something that's a little harder. It's easy to do the easy things, but I just always want to make sure that there's some level where I'm really challenged over my head in just a little bit to where I need God or others.
Yeah, that's great. What's the best piece of advice you've ever been given?
Best piece of advice is, be aware of, again, I said it already, and I guess, but just those dark shadows of your own heart, and your own character. That's just the best advice. And I try to live that.
Yeah.
And I think it'll just keep you long, long time when you can do that. So I try to just do that. And the best person to do that is my wife.
Mm.
She is a shadow teller. She's the one who can see into me and speak into me better than anybody.
Mm.
That's awesome. Well, it might be the same, but what's one piece of advice you would give to this next generation?
My advice would be to always look after the least and the looked over. And just make sure you do that. Look after those, because that's where your ministry is. Your ministry is in your mess. And sometimes in these new books that we read, they keep saying, go after the goers, go with the people who are, you know, the movers and the shakers, you know, and the people who aren't with you. But I found that I can't just go with those individuals. We got to go back and deal with the least and the looked over make sure that they have it, because that's where the real ministry is. That's where the real calling for your life is, in those people who take a little bit more patience and a little bit more time. So I would say slow down and make sure that you let those behind you catch up with you and not leave them behind.
That's awesome. Well, last one, what about this generation gives you hope about the future?
What gives me hope again is their passion for the future. I think that they're going to be a lot more diversity, a lot more connection with people. They're going to be much more relational than my generation or previous generation. And that gives me a lot of hope. And I'm really excited about them. The renewal of authenticity that I see in the young people.
Wow. Yeah.
And so I'm very excited about that.
That is so true. I was talking about that the other day, the renewal of authenticity. You see that just in how you're supposed to communicate now. And again, I just think I pray that we're going to see that more and more just over these next years. Well, thank you so much, Pastor Barnett, for just taking the time today to be with us.
Thank you so much, Doc.
This series, these conversations are just so encouraging to my heart, and I pray to our listeners. And again, it's just, I always want to go back and listen again to make sure I didn't miss anything, because it's just filled with such nuggets. So thank you for being one of those just faithful leaders who have been in the ministry, who are continuing in the ministry, and just do that day in and day out. We're just so grateful for you. And again, just everybody, just keep Pastor Barnett in your prayers and his ministry at Peace Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. And so, again, thank you so much for your time, but we're going to close out now. Thank you for those that were listening today. And if you haven't listened to the past ones of the series, please go back and listen. We'll be doing a couple more, but just excited about the ones that we've done and we'll continue to do. And if you have not subscribed or liked this podcast, be sure to do so. You'll see when the next episode's posted as soon as it's posted. When you do that. But again, just thank you guys for listening and taking part. And we hope that we will see you again next week.
See you next week.